Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. And I'm just going to read from verse number 38 through to verse 42. Luke chapter number 10, from verse 38 through to verse number 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Church, please let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to gather around your word again this beautiful morning. We acknowledge that the word in here is not ours. The word in here is not mine. It's yours, Lord. And therefore, Lord, we ask that you breathe again upon your word and let your word come alive to us. You've gathered us together to feed us with your word, the manna from heaven. We open our heart and our ears, Lord, this morning to receive that which you have prepared to feed us with. Lord, I pray that you anoint the ears and the heart of your people, my brethren, this morning. And I also pray that you anoint me afresh and think through my mind, speak through my mouth this morning, so that, Lord, your word will drop as the rain, it will distill as the dew of the morning. This word is going to bring encouragement to our soul, is going to replace hopelessness with hope that is found in Christ. By the reason of your word, burdens will be lifted, yokes will be destroyed because of the anointing upon your word this morning. As your word goes forth, let it bring healing and deliverance to your people. Let souls be cleansed by the reason of the washing of the water by the word of God. Let there be a restoration of the peace of God that surpasses all understanding by the reason of your word this morning. Let this word be much more than what is just been delivered by a human vessel. Let it be a word that comes straight from the throne room of grace. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you were presented with options and to make a choice from the options, and you decided to go for a particular option? You chose something, and at the time you chose that thing, you know, you felt you actually chose, you know, the best option. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't just that you were convinced that you have chosen the best option. The people around, the people that were, you know, that were around also applauded your choice. They congratulated you for the choice that you have made, because to them too, it appeared that you have made a very good choice. But down the track, you know, down the line, you know, months, years, maybe even decades thereafter, it dawned on you that you actually had chosen the wrong thing. You know, that in fact, the one that you left not chosen, the option that you left, you know, that you despise, ought to have been the choice that you have, ought to have been the option that you should have chosen in the first instance. This is the case in this particular passage, this story that we have just read. This passage is quite very familiar. I would be surprised if there is anyone in this room, especially if you have been a believer even for just 1 month or 1 year, that you have not come across, you know, this story. As a matter of fact, there are even people that are unbelievers that know and are familiar with this story. But just like many familiar stories in the Bible, we tend not to get the real meat of the message contained in those stories. We get a couple of things, and some of them are not bad, you know, in themselves, but we just don't get the real meat of the story. Now, this morning, I'm not here to disparage whatsoever thing you might have gleaned from this passage in times past. God bless your heart for it. But But what if there is a lot more that the Lord wants to unpack? What if there is a lot more in that story that we have not been able to actually appreciate in times past? In my opinion, it's like, you know, the layers of onion. You know, you hit the first layer, you think that's all that it has to offer, but you go deeper and you discover that there is a lot more in there. And that's the way I want us to see this story. If you're joining us for the first time today, we've been in a series from last week, actually, that we've titled Christ and Choices. Christ and Choices. And by that, we're talking about instances when Jesus actually intervened directly in the choices of people. They're guiding them or by advising them the right kind of choice to make. And the reason why we're talking about all of this and we have actually felt it's a good idea is simply because our choices define us. Ultimately, we have today a sum product, a sum total of the kind of choices that we have made, the quality of the choices that we have made in past times, in past years, rather. And it is important, it's incumbent on us to make the correct choice to be able to have an enviable future, both in time and in history, as well as in eternity. So rather than just, you know, mourning over the wrong choices that we have made in times past, why don't we settle down and begin to get educated in God's word as to how to make the right, correct choices that will define our future and will secure an eternity with God. That's the whole essence of going through this particular series. We started this last week, and we reviewed a passage in Matthew chapter number 8, we saw the life of a young man, and Jesus gave a simple instruction. And the summary of the instruction is choose to follow me rather than choose to carry out obligations that is imposed by culture, tradition, society, or family. That's the whole summary of what we discussed last week. Today, by the grace of God, I would like to share with you what I've titled Choosing the Good Path. Choosing the Good Path. Now, and it's in that story, Luke chapter number 10, from verse 38 to verse 42. Now, let's state the obvious. Let's state what is so clear in that story before we begin to describe both the setting and the lesson. The first thing that is so clear to everyone, you don't need to be a Bible scholar to notice this, is that a choice was made by someone, and it was a good choice. And that's what the Bible talks about in verse number 42 of the passage we've just read. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good path. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good path. So a choice was made by someone, and it was a good choice. Now, number two, Jesus was so impressed by this choice, and he wasn't just impressed by the choice, he actually commended it. He amplified it. He, in fact, wished that the other person that was present, in this case Martha, will have chosen the same thing that Mary actually chose. So it is a good choice, and it's so good that Jesus wished for other people, other person present, and by extension, other people that will read in later years, including us, to actually choose what Mary chose. Okay? So in fact, Jesus said to the extent that the good choice, the impact of the good choice that was made by this person called Mary will not leave this person's life all the days of her life. In other words, the impact is going to live with her the rest of her life. So she has chosen that good path, which will not be taken away from her. Okay, let's come back to the beginning. What's the setting like? Now, it took place at a place that is called Bethany. Bethany was just 2 miles away from Jerusalem. You know, 2 miles is about 3.2 kilometers, if that is helpful. Okay? It is the home of a lady called Martha. And so Jesus loved this particular family. As a matter of fact, in John chapter number 11, verse number 5, the Bible says Jesus loves Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So we're talking about three people, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, a family. Bible scholars believe that Martha seems to be the eldest of the three of them. But in this particular passage, it's just a story that involves two of them, Martha and Mary. Now, so Jesus will often, come over to their place from time to time. I will imagine it's on his way to Jerusalem or on his way coming back from Jerusalem, because it's so close to Jerusalem. So it was on one of those occasions that this particular incident happened. So it so happened that somehow, as Jesus came into their home, what usually happens when people come into our home, if you're a couple, you understand what I'm talking about. When someone comes to your house and it's somebody that you love, you respect, somebody is going to go to the kitchen to fix stuff, and the other person is going to sit with the guests, and keep them, entertained, and have a chat, talk about footy, talk about politics, but you're doing that to just keep them engaged because something is cooking, and so it comes naturally to us. Somebody just slips over into the kitchen, the other person into the living room to engage the guest, In our home, he's in the kitchen already, it's me, And just kidding, okay? All right, So I'm a good communicator, so I will stay in the living room, and then my wife would slip into the kitchen and all those, She has a special anointing for that. Anyway, so that's kind of what happened here. Now, but the difference here is that Mary did not just go to sit with Jesus. Mary actually went to sit at Jesus' feet. Now, listen to me, people of God. I know that we have read this passage, and I know that we have an idea. We have some idea of what we think this passage is communicating to us. But can I just request for a moment to just, open your heart and let the Lord speak to you. God may actually have a lot more than what many of us have taught this passage to actually mean. Now, so Jesus came into the home. Mary, the younger sister, sat with Jesus, but he sat more than that. She did much more than that. She didn't just sit with Jesus. The Bible says she sat at Jesus' feet. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 39. All right, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So this is not just a matter of sitting with someone to engage them. The Bible says she sat at Jesus' feet. Now, in a moment, we're going to come to Martha, but let's stay with Mary for a short while. Because basically, what we're trying to glean from here is what choice was made by each person and which one did Jesus endorse. And the reason why that is important is because if Jesus will have his opportunity again to speak to us, he will tell us to choose exactly the same thing that Mary chose. Now, the question is, what did Mary choose? It's easy to think that this passage is about activism and quietism. Martha was the active one. Mary was the quiet one. Jesus loved quiet people, not active people. And you'll have missed a lot from that. Some of us might say, okay, well, maybe Jesus was not just impressed that Mary was too busy. And you may have a point in that, but there is a lot more, that is packaged in this passage. And that's why I just want us to open your heart to receive what the Lord will say to you here. To sit at Jesus' feet, what does that mean? Now, why don't we allow the scripture to interpret scriptures? Acts chapter 22, verse 1-3. This is Paul giving a defense of his faith. He said, brethren and fathers, Acts chapter 22, verse 1, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, and brought up, listen to this, in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous towards God, as you also are today. The key point is this: I was brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law. So what does it mean to sit at someone's feet? It simply means to learn from them. It means to learn from them. It is an expression that is used to describe learning from somebody. So, and that's exactly what Mary was doing here. So to sit at someone's feet is to acknowledge the person's authority over you. You acknowledge their authority over you, and you get schooled or get taught by them. Now, this is what Mary has chosen. And Jesus said it's a good choice. Now, you're going to see in a short while that Jesus is actually talking much more about their attitude than their action. And we're going to get that in a short while. The attitude of being a learner is what Jesus is kind of applauding here. It's much more than the action of, as it were, quote and unquote, sitting at his feet. It's that attitude of being a learner, is learning at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. Now, it seems that Mary in this passage, or in the Bible generally, is a person that is in love with the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in John chapter number 11, this is what the Bible says, John 11 verse number 2, this is the story of, you know, Lazarus' death and resurrection, and the Bible is trying to introduce to us Mary, and it says it was that Mary, all right, who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, it starts by telling us Lazarus was sick, and then he's trying to introduce to us Mary, and he said, this Mary that I'm introducing to you, she was the one that actually, you know, anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and wiped his feet with her hair. And that's a position of worship. You know, it's an expression of worship in their time and in their culture. When you do that, when you fall at people's feet, you are expressing worship unto them. Again, in the same chapter, chapter 11, verse number 32, we're introduced to Mary again, and this is what Mary did, verse number 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was, it's a long story. You remember that Martha had already come to meet Jesus, and he had told Jesus, if you had come earlier, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Mary was in the house, and somehow Mary got to know that Jesus was in town. And so she ran and she went to meet Jesus, and this was what Mary did. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What's the point I'm making? The point I'm making is that this woman is in love with Jesus' feet. Okay? but it's not just falling at his feet, which signifies worship. It's actually sitting at his feet, which signifies learning. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and Jesus said, she has made a very good choice. Sat at his feet, learning. So what the attitude that Jesus is commending here is the attitude of a learner, someone who wants to learn God's word, who wants to learn the opinion of God regarding a matter, who wants to seek what God thinks about a situation. So this person is going to come to God and is going to say, Lord, how can I please you? That's a learner's attitude. Lord, speak to me, reveal me to me. Lord, is there any impediment, you know, limiting me in loving you, in serving you, in doing what I ought to do? This is the attitude of a learner. And this is the attitude that Jesus is trying to project to every believer, that this is the attitude, this is the position, this is the choice I would rather have you made. The attitude of a learner. This is a person that will come to the Lord and say, look into my heart and reveal me to me. And in the process, God is going to show him, you have a problem with anger. And he says, oh Lord, I'm sorry. What can I do about it? That's a learner. Okay, I think you're very covetous, you know. I say, Lord, I'm so sorry. You have a problem with selfishness. That's a learner. It is the person that is looking at himself through the word of God, you know, as in looking in the mirror to reflect and to find out, who am I? How am I with respect to the will, the plan, the purpose of God for my life? So this is a learner's attitude. This is a person that comes to the Lord and says, Lord, what's going on in my life? And God is going to say, you have a pride issue. You know, you have a lost issue. You have problem with certain kind of immorality, and the person is going to swallow and is going to see himself in the light of the word and begin to make amends. And Jesus says, you want to make a good choice. Make the choice of being a person that have the attitude of a learner. Okay, like I said, what Jesus is actually condemning or endorsing here is more of attitude rather than action. Somebody say, what's attitude? Attitude is simply a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. That's your attitude. It's a settled way of thinking and feeling about something. So Mary has a settled attitude of learning from the Lord. Each time Jesus will show up, she is the type that will want to learn something. And that's why the Bible says she sat at the feet of Jesus. Now, what did Martha choose? Now, we have established what Mary chose. Mary chose to be a learner, you know, someone who learned from Jesus. So that she will get to know herself, she will get to know the mind of God, and she will be able to begin to walk towards, you know, the plan and the mind of God for her life. Because you can only walk towards something that you know anyway. But Martha, what did she choose? Now, the easiest thing that we would jump at is, oh, she just chose to go and serve. You know, the Bible is not expressed about what exactly that word serve means. But we can comfortably assume that this is talking about fixing some meals, you know, for Jesus. You know, trying to put some food together. I look at that and say, there is really nothing bad about this. Somebody needs to prepare this food. Somebody needs to, you know, sort out and fix the meal for Jesus. And it might interest you that Jesus actually was not talking about, was not condemning matters as the serving of Martha. That's not what Jesus is condemning here. Far from it. Rather, Jesus is actually condemning an attitude displayed by Martha. You know, I love studying about Jesus. I don't know about you, people of God, but each time I come into the Gospels, you know, and I read about Jesus, I'm just fascinated about his life, about his words, about everything. And one of the things that I've found out about the Lord Jesus is that when he will speak to issue, he speaks to the heart of the issue, not just the actions that is around it. He speaks right into the center of the issue. As a matter of fact, there are instances when Jesus will answer questions, and I've said that before now, that you begin to ask yourself, does he actually understand the question? Because the answer does not seem to tally with the question. The point is, Jesus does not speak to actions. He speaks to the heart, the if you like, the underlying, you know, attitude behind the situation. Now, we look at this particular story and we think Jesus is mad at Martha's serving. No, far from it. Jesus had no problem with Martha's serving. Some of us will think, okay, maybe Jesus was not just, you know, fascinated about the fact that she was so busy. Now, you might have a point because sometimes when we're so busy, we begin to lose sight of the main thing. But it's what if I told you that there is a lot more than just business that Jesus actually wants to address in this particular passage? So Jesus did not see service as a problem here. What Jesus saw here is quite deeper than just serving. Somebody says, so what does Jesus see here? Now, not my word. Let's see what Jesus saw. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are what? Worried and troubled. Can you stop there? Martha, you are worried and you are troubled. Martha I see a woman that is full of worry and whose heart is completely troubled. That's what Jesus saw. Now, the action may be great, but when the attitude behind the action is wrong, God picks it up. And that is why, you know, when God wants to encourage us as believers to, for instance, the easiest example is to our generosity. You know, when God will talk about your generosity, he will always talk about your generosity in the context of the attitude of your generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 7, what does the Bible say? For God loves a giver. Is that what it says? No. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, when you remove that word cheerful, God is not in the business. Cheerfulness is the attitude. Giving is the action. When you remove that cheerfulness, God is off. For God loves a cheerful giver. The same way here, God does not, is not impressed by just the serving. There is a problem behind the serving that needs to be addressed, and that is the problem of worry. There is worry, there is anxiety, there is trouble. The heart is trouble. You know the interesting thing, as a matter of fact, you know the word that is translated worry here is the same word that Jesus used in the book of Matthew chapter number 6 when he talks about do not worry. Verse 25, do not worry. Verse 31, do not worry. Verse 34, do not worry. That's Matthew chapter number 6. And exactly the same Greek word is used here, merisnas. It means to be worried, to be anxious. Jesus said, Martha, you have chosen something that is destructive. You have chosen worry here. You have chosen anxiety. He said you are worried and trouble. That word trouble means to be in turmoil, to be disturbed. It means to show agitation of mind. It means to strike with a panic. As a matter of fact, it means to cause a confusion, a commotion. I see commotion going on in your heart, Martha. There is a trouble. You are serving, but you are serving from a troubled soul. And that's not going to impress me. Now, what's the point here? The point is here. Jesus is telling Martha, Martha, there is a better choice. And Mary has chosen the better thing. Mary has chosen the attitude of a learner. You have chosen the attitude of a warrior. You are worrying. You are in trouble. Your heart is troubled. Yes, you are doing the right thing, serving. But because it's coming from a heart that is troubled and that is worried, it's causing confusion. And you're going to see that in a short while because the manifestation of what takes place from the serving point of view is completely, you know, destructive in its manifestation at the end of the day. The point I'm making this morning, people of God, is this. Jesus is asking you and her, why don't you choose to be a learner rather than to be a warrior? We don't know exactly what Martha was worrying about. But Jesus saw into the heart of the matter, and he said, Martha, you're filled with worry, you're filled with anxiety, your heart is troubled, is in tumult, is in complete commotion. Will you please come and learn from me, just like Mary, the attitude of a learner. So choose learning from me rather than choosing worrying about me. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Choose a learning attitude, not a worrying attitude. Now, the interesting thing is this. The more you learn from Jesus, the less you worry about Jesus. The more you learn from God, the less you worry about God and about the things that happen around you. Now, how did Martha get into worrying? She meant well. She started well. You know, she just wanted to fix some good meal for Jesus. How did she get into worrying? We're going to get there in a short while. But let me make a point. Three things that I believe a stinking attitude of worrying is going to cause. Or three things that I come to understand about the attitude called worry. From this passage, number one, I didn't know this, you know, for a long time, but thank God I found it out. The first thing is this: worrying is a choice. I know you will argue with me about that. Pastor, you don't get it. You don't understand what you're talking about. I don't want to worry, but I just worry. It just comes. It's like a gift. I just wake up. I'm already worried. In fact, by the time I open my eyes, I have already started to worry. I didn't choose this. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's a choice. You choose it. Now, if you look back into the language that Jesus used to describe worry in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 25, verse 31, and verse 34. Please help me, guys. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. And then it goes to verse number 31. Exactly the same word. Therefore, do not worry. Verse 34. Exactly the same word. Therefore, do not worry. Now, this, the word that is used here is a word that depicts that it's an action that is taken by somebody. It is a choice that someone makes. I don't know whether you have got, you remember going into a restaurant or an hotel or wherever, and then on the glass they will put, please do not touch. Okay? Please do not touch. Now, what does that suggest? They expect that you, the people that come into their place, they have enough sense to understand that do not touch means what? Do not touch. So in other words, you can make a choice as to touch or not touch. Because if it's not something that you have a control over, then it's pointless putting do not touch. I mean, if I'm coming in there with my 18-month-old boy or 2-year-old boy, and you're putting do not touch, you're wasting your time. Because the boy perhaps doesn't even understand what you've put in there. Now, but they assume that adults will understand do not touch means don't choose not to touch. Church, are you following me? Now, so when the Bible says do not worry, it's not suggesting to you that worrying comes to you and you have no choice. It's saying that do not choose worry. Because worrying is a choice. I want that to settle in your mind first. The second thing is this. Learning from God, or learning from God's word, is the protection against this choice of worrying. Learning from God, God's word, is the protection. That's what we gather from this passage. Martha, Mary has chosen the right thing. This thing is not going to be taken away from him, or from her, rather. You have chosen the wrong thing. The wrong thing you have chosen is that you have chosen worry, you have chosen a troubled heart. Why don't you choose something similar to what Mary has chosen, which is to learn from me? Because what happens is that, you know, worry is like darkness. When you come into a room which is dark, it's pointless to begin to worry about what you're going to do to get away this darkness. Oh, what am I going to collect all of this darkness and get them out now? It's pointless. What do you need to do? You flick on the light and darkness disappears. You flick on the light and darkness disappears. People of God, you may not believe this, but this is the truth. The more we learn from God, the less we worry about life. The more we learn from God, the less we worry about life. The more we learn from God's word, the less you worry about life. And this is saying this clearly. I don't mean to step on toes, but let me say this clearly. If you find yourself to be a warrior, you have departed from the word. You are far from the word. You are not, you have left your sitting position at the feet of the Lord. Because the farther you go from that feet, the more worry engulfs your soul. All right? So worrying is a choice. Number two, learning from God's word is the protection. You know, it's like what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, you know, in verse number 16. You know, I believe the Bible puts that there because some people are finding it hard to deal with the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Oh, how am I going to deal with these lustful, you know, desires of my flesh? Some people are worried about that. And the Bible says, you don't need to find yourself, you don't need to get yourself bogged down with worrying about how to deal with the lust of the flesh. What do you do? Walk in the Spirit. He said, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the problem with darkness is not that you are so devoted to how to get the darkness out. The problem and the way to deal with darkness is to find out where the switch is, where the light is. So when you have a heart that worries about your life, about your children, about your health, about your finances, about your future, the problem is not, oh, now I need to settle down and stop this worrying. Worrying, I must stop you. You are wasting your time. Because the more you think about how to deal with worry, the more worried you become. You know, I understand I read the story of a man who got a man employed, and he said, look, you've got a simple job to do for me. And that one said, what's the job? He said, I'm going to pay you handsomely for it. I'm going to pay you, $1,000 every day, you know, for just doing this job. So what's the job? You know, I just want you to worry about everything that I worry about. That's the job. I want you to be the one to worry about things that I worry about. Say, oh, that's not a bad idea. No problem. And then he said, okay, but can I ask, how are you going to get the money to pay for $1,000 you said every day? I said, that's exactly what you're supposed to be worrying about. That's exactly the reason why I employ you. You know. So what am I saying? Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have the attitude of a learner, and you're not going to get yourself entrapped into worry and troubled heart. The more you learn from God, the more you learn from His Word, the more you are exposed to the love that Jesus has for you, the less you worry about your life. Do not worry. When Jesus said that, He's not telling you something that you don't have the capacity to do. He's telling you what you have an ability to do, but your ability is enhanced by how much of His Word that is in you, learning from Him. Now, worrying is a choice. Learning from God's Word is the protection. And finally, worry is a product of distraction. Worry is a product of distraction. Now, how did Martha get into this state? She meant well. She started well. She just wanted to fix something for Jesus. How did she get into this place? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 40. Verse 40 says this. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, note the word distracted. Now, there is nothing wrong with the serving, but a distraction has taken place. Now, by the way, when you see that word distraction, it does not just mean inability to concentrate. It's not just talking about the loss of concentration. What the original Greek is talking about here is to be pulled or to be dragged away or to be drawn away from something. So in the process of doing the right thing, in the process of serving Jesus, Martha, for whatever reason, was dragged away, was drawn away from where she ought to be mentally. Ideally, she should be closer to the feet of Jesus, learning. But by the reason of this serving, she has been drawn away. And that's why Jesus is saying, you need to choose not to worry, but you need to choose to learn at my feet, to glean from my feet. There are people who get distracted. And when you get distracted, you are taken away from your learning point or your learning position. And once you get drawn away from there, then you land in this arena called worry. Now, there is a problem there. You don't just get distracted when you are taken away from a position where you're supposed to be learning from God. Now, for instance, what we are doing this morning is we're learning from the Lord. We're learning from God's Word. Now, and when you are drawn away from that, of course, church is not the only place where you learn from God's Word. You know, we have private opportunities to have, engagement with the Bible and stuff like that, reading, listening, you know, meditating. When you get distracted, when you are just taken away from that, because the word distraction talks about you are pulled away from that. When you are pulled away from that, you come into this arena where there is a lot of worry. And it leads into a state of disgruntlement. What does that mean? It gets you into a state where you become hungry and you become dissatisfied. You become hungry and you become dissatisfied. You become angry at every other person apart from you. You become dissatisfied with every other person apart from you. That's exactly what happens here. Look at what happens. And she approached him. She approached Jesus, verse number 40, and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." That's what happens to a distracted soul. Everything becomes about me, I, and myself. Now, it's no longer about Jesus now. It's about Martha. Tell her to help me. Don't you know that I need help? As a matter of fact, Jesus, I think you're not doing well. I think Martha actually stepped out of band here. She's talking to the Lord here. Don't you care that she has left me in the kitchen, as it were? Now tell her to come to me. That's stepping out of your boundary. We're talking about Jesus here, the Lord and Savior. As a pastor, if I were to visit anyone and anyone talks to me like this, I'm off. You know, just kidding anyway. I hope no one takes like that. But I'm talking about a relationship between the Lord and a person. Why? She got distracted. And she became disgruntled because she has landed in this space called worry. She has chosen worry. And Jesus, I love the way Jesus responded. Jesus was not, look, Jesus loved both of them. We started like in Luke chapter number 11, verse 5. Jesus loved these people dearly. And Jesus was going to give this instruction and direction out of the loving heart of the Savior, Martha. Martha, you know, your serving is great, but there is something wrong here. This attitude is thinking. You're filled with worry. You're filled with anxiety. Your heart is troubled. You're missing the point. Mary, your sister, has chosen the right attitude. The attitude of always wanting to learn from the Lord. Because the more you learn, the less you worry. As I round up this morning, people of God, what is the good part? I hear Jesus inviting you and me today to be a lifelong student at the feet of Jesus. Because that's the only way to protect you from the arena of worry. The worry, the anxiety, the trepidation that comes about our life, our future, our tomorrow, our family, our finances. Could it be as a result of the fact that we have left the place of our learning, the place where we're supposed to soak in God's word and God's promises that tells us that I am with you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Don't you get it? I love you. I love you dearly. I love you so much that I left the entire heaven. I came to earth to die for you. The more you hear that, the more you connect with that love of Jesus, the less you worry about life. I'm asking you, people of God, let's come to a place where we begin to learn and drop, depart away from this arena of worry. That is the good part, and that is the part that Jesus wants us to choose. Let us pray.